I got it?
Yeah, I got it. What was the joy of the Lord? It was to do the Father's will. Okay? He was sent to do what? Bring you to heaven. The joy set before him was to bring you to heaven to glorify the Father. Because what's the main thing of man? Is to glorify God and all the earth. Right? So, the joy of the Lord. It's very interesting that that was the verse that we ended with. Because that's what we're talking about this morning. Isn't God wonderful? I'm going to turn over here. I'm in the book of Philippians. I'm going to be somewhere around chapter 3 eventually. I looked in my index. It's in the other side. It's the other side of the Old Testament. It's in the Greek one. The Greek side. In case you're wondering, it's on page 1915. Anyway, it's fun for us to be here. We have it's a joy and a pleasure. My son actually invited himself. He does that when I speak. He says, "Can I go?" That brings me joy. Okay? That brings me joy. There's a lot of things that'll bring you joy. Think about that for just a minute. What brings you joy? Okay? Okay, good discount on a used car. I used to get excited to get a good discount on used tires to go on my car. I could buy them for $12. Wow. And I could get about 500 to 1,000 miles, depending. So, back in the 80s. But, yeah, my brother was, well, both of them, they liked cars. And they found a flea market that sold tires. So, there we go. And for years, that's what we have. I met a guy the other day. He still does that. He's an older man. He finds joy in finding him a used tire. Okay. But where do you find your joy? Okay. Now, I gave you a hint where you should find it. The Bible points to it. Philippians is a book that a lot of people say the main theme is joy. And they'll call it the Epistle of Joy. But it's not the main theme. It is one of the themes that's there. When you watch television, I mean, they've got the soccer, World Soccer Cup and all that going, and people take a lot of joy in their team and their players. And I've seen some of the player worships, these kids that get touched, just hand touched by these guys, or they're throwing them a shoe or a shirt, and they just go all to pieces. I've seen videos, and since you guys are older, I can tell older jokes. When I taught up at the Bible College at Ravencrest, they're 18, 19 years old. I couldn't use my older examples because they had no clue what I was talking about. But you do. But some of them would, these kids and some of the other, they would just break down. Elvis, when he sang, my aunt went to the, and he could reach out and touch you and just make you just want to love him. And the girls would just melt. And I remember seeing pictures of the Beatles on TV. And these people goes absolutely going crazy. And I'm like, it's just a song. And they're just melting down. What do you find your joy in is the bottom line. This helps you when you walk through day to day. And you've seen people. I used to find some joy in walking down the streets of Estes Park. I lived up there for 20-some years as I worked at the Bible College up there. And you get 3 million visitors a year, and they walk down the streets. And I go down the street, especially at Christmas, they could come to my, like, I go Merry Christmas just to see their response, you know, what it was. And, you know, and some of them would say it back, and others, no. So, but just going through downtown, just saying hi to people, and try that. It's just entertaining. Just entertaining. Just walk down the street, say, hey, how are you? You know, it might start a conversation. Or you walk on, whatever. But to have joy, as I said, in Estes, some of the owners of the stores knew me. And they said, I'd come in, they said, yeah, some of your kids were in there early this day. So how'd you know? He said, they were smiling. Because they were carrying joy. What do you carry when you go down the street? Oh, here's one. I always like to do this one at our church. What do you carry when you drive down the road? Is it? We got a place there in Lyons as you're leaving that last stoplight. You can take a right turn, go to Boulder, or 66 is straight ahead of you. It's two lanes, but down a quarter mile is one lane. And the tourists are coming out of Estes, and they're ignorant. They don't know that side. And if they're in the right lane, you know, you're like, But some of those guys, they know, and they're in that right lane, they know they need to be in the left lane down there in a quarter mile. So what do you think happens when that light turns green? It's a drag race. And I'm trying to teach my son right now. He's 14. It won't be long. He'll be driving. I said, now, what do you think that car is going to do? You think they're going to take off, or they're ignorant? Because ignorant people won't take off. They just go slow. Then they get hung. But some of them do. They go. I had an 80-year-old woman that, very Christian woman, and she loved to sit at that stoplight when she was still driving. She eventually stopped driving in her 80s, but she had a V8, a Buick, old folks car, my brother calls them. And she had a little button on hers, the auto drive, you know, auto drive. It keeps your speed going, okay? The cruise control. See, I never use that button on mine because I'm afraid to touch it. It's an old car. I don't know if it gets stuck or not working. Anyway, she'd keep her finger on that button. And that light turned green, she hit it. Well, her 8-cylinder car hit all those pistons at the same time. Spare tire would spin and she'd take off. She always wanted to be a race car driver. And she just loved that intersection. I did not let her drive when I was in the car carrying her to the airport, various places. But the bottom line is, where do you get your joy? What is your joy in? Now, it can be in your children. It could be in whatever it is, a new fishing pole or getting a good deal on a car or whatever. The Bible tells us the secret to having a joyful life. Our true joy, it says, comes from the Lord. So many people stop short when they give an explanation. I could pretend, and I'll make up a few things that some of the things are true, but you won't know. He's smart. I can take joy in that, like, oh, he's the smartest guy in the class. His kindergarten teacher confessed years later that he knew more stuff than she did when he entered a kindergarten at 5 years old. I don't know. I don't know if that says about her or him, you know, I don't know. But you could have joy in that. You could take pride in that. But there's a danger in that when you don't finish the sentence. Because if he has a high intelligence, where does it come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. If I say, he's a very smart man, a smart young man, I start changing his names around. Every time I get his hair cut, he gets taller. But it's intelligence from the Lord. And that's why you had to finish that. That gift or that good deal on the car was God blessing you. And he tells in various places, when God brings the early rains and the late rains and those rains that fall in the middle for Israel, that's a blessing from God. Yeah, here comes the rain. Praise the rain. Some people forget that. And the Bible's full of stories like that. They get to worship in the rain that comes. And there are joys in that rain. They're excited about the rain, but finish the sentence. The rain from the Lord. Because when we stop saying that last part, we can think and we can get prideful in things. You know, I got up and remembered to put my shoes on. They were the same color. Shoes, you know. I saw a girl wearing two different shoes the other day. I said, is that just style or she just didn't care? You know, I don't. These days it's hard to tell. Later I found the answer. It was style. Her partner, her other those teenage girls, she was wearing the other side of the shoes. In the book of Philippians, it talks about joy. And in that first chapter of the book of Philippians, it talks about fellowship. And you guys are a fellowship. And I like it that you're all facing this way. And you're just in perfect numbers here. You got your pairs all the way down. So, and I want you to think of one of those old Roman boats. Okay, it could be Greek if you like Greek or whatever. But they had a boat. Here's our boat. We're in the boat. Okay, Now you've got a long oar. The two of you are rowing. The two of you, you're rowing. You're strong. You must be Hercules or something. He's okay. And you got you two. Okay. You guys got three back there. You go. Okay. But now you're rowing, right? You got yours and you're rowing. We're going this way. Or are we going that way? So you need to know which way you're going. I've had the privilege to teach kids how to paddle. And they're clueless. You know, especially you get them in a canoe and they don't know. And some of them are paddling this way. Some of them are paddling this way. And what happens when you're on this side of the boat going this way and he's on the other side going this way? See, you guys know that. You're intelligent. Right? See, when's the last time somebody said you're smart? But you are. You understand that. And I just let them have fun at it for a second so that, see if they could figure it out. But you get in a kayak, you can't see the person behind you. But if you aren't rowing together, there's difficulties. Your paddles connect. They bang. You could break them. They're doing the wrong things. You guys are all, like, every time you get here every week, you're now in the boat, and you're all rowing, and we're all going marching. Where are we going? You see, where is your destination? The person here at the end of the boat, right here, he's the guy counting the cadence, right? And you're all rowing in the direction. Are you headed toward Christ? You see, the joy of Christ, the joy set before him, was to present you before the Father around his throne, countless numbers. You're his inheritance. And that's his joy, to give you to the Father. That's why he came to earth. That's why he put in your heart and died for you on that cross, so that you might be able to get there. Because there's no way we were going to get there. We didn't have oars to get anywhere. We're at the mercy of the earth. Chapter 1 is about that. It's about striving together, moving in the same direction. It's moving in the same direction, and there's three statements here it gives. And he's talking about grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, from God our Father. The grace we need from God, it came through Christ. His mercy paid our debt, right? The peace. Remember the angels back at Christmas? They came, they said, what? Peace on earth. Peace. It was peace with God. You get peace with God. Jesus said, there's no peace on this earth. Boy, you can see that today, can't you? Man will rise against man because they don't accept God's message. So we see that. You'll see that in your numbers, whether they grow big or small here in this meeting as well, as you get older, as we're the younger ones. You know, you say, you know, are they going to be here? There are places where they're younger people. I'll give you that hope. I didn't bring it with me this morning, but I got a report from Iran. They don't report to me directly, but I was reading about it. There's a movement in that country, and they used to be like a percentage, one of 1%, a percentage of 1%, and now they multiply over, they're over 1 million people as they're rejecting the Muslim faith, and they're becoming believers. So there's hope in that country too, okay? God works that way. I had a question this week. It says, what about those people that don't get to hear about Christ? You don't get there with the Bible. And they don't know the name of Jesus. The book of Romans tells us that answer. God says, I personally talk to each one of them. He does something. We don't know. But every one of them, I hear stories and people tell me stories. They go into this village. It's isolated. Never had a white man come with a Bible. They started talking about Jesus, and it comes. He's using different words. He says, all of a sudden they realized the story. They said, we know about him. It's a true story. We know about him. How do you know? That man up there on that hill up there, he keeps telling us. He's having these dreams. You see, God has different ways in the world to tell. Do anybody remember in the Bible the man Balak? Do you remember him? I told the story once, and all you'll see. Balaam was the one that was riding the donkey that started talking to him. Okay. After I told this story, one of the teenage boys says, I knew animals could talk. I said, that's what you got out of this? If you got that, I'm sorry. That's not where you go. God gave that voice to that animal. Okay. Balaam was a holy man of God, whom he cursed, was cursed, because God did it. And whom he blessed, he blessed. God was, and that man was up, lived, is Chaldean, up in Babylon. Okay? Not Jewish. How did he become a man of God? We don't know his story. Okay? But God told him this on the way he was coming down to be paid to curse Israel, right? And God says, listen to me. That's why he had the donkey thing. He said, listen to me. You say the words I put in your mouth. Warned him. So he blessed Israel three times, which made him unpopular with the guy that was hiring him. All right? So understand that the other parts of the world know things because God does it. Coming back to Philippians chapter 1, there are three things. It says, I have you in my mind. I was thinking about you. He's talking about his remembrance. In verse 3, I thank you, my God, for all my remembrances of you. I have you in my mind. I could remember this room when he called on the phone. He asked me to come this time. I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I didn't remember how to get here. But I remember this room. I remember some of your faces, right? God led me here this morning. He brought us here safely. Hopefully that'll be his will on the way home. All right? But you were on my mind. And when people are brought to your mind, what's the next thing he does? He says, I have you in my heart. That's a love, okay? You gather each week to celebrate Christ. The third one is I have you in my prayers. That's your fellowship. You men should have each other in your mind, in your heart, with love and in your prayers. Well, that's chapter 1, okay? We don't have time to go through all of it. We're not going to go through. He goes on and tells us things, but I'm going to move over to chapter 3 because that's where we're headed. Several times, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord, but he comes to chapter 3 in the first verse. The word finally, Philippians has four chapters. Even in verse chapter 3, he's halfway through. When a preacher says finally, does it mean he's getting ready to end? No. So he's halfway through. But then he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That is a command. I ask the guys at our church, it's a challenge to me. The thing is to know the will of God. How do you know the will of God? Don't you want to do the will of God? So where in the scriptures does Jesus give us commands? He's our king, right? That makes us his servant. Could you name, if we did a test now and we passed out, Joshua, you passed out the paper, how many commands of the Lord could you write down? Now, we'll give you a hint. You start with the Ten Commandments. That'll be a big help because he repeated all of them. Okay? There was one that he didn't say it directly, but it's implied. But what are the commands of Christ if he's your king? Okay? So that's one thing. But let's go on. The command here, which is one of the commands you could write down, is rejoice, but finish the sentence. In the Lord. You see, that's the important key for you. I could, let's see, there's two teams. Who is it? It's Spain and Venezuela are in the World Cup. You can tell how much I follow it. I believe they're the last two teams in the World Cup. They meet sometime. Now, there's a lot of people pulling for one and a lot of people pulling, and at the end of that game, somebody's going to be unhappy. They're going to be distraught. They're going to be angry at their players and all this kind of stuff. One guy who was on his team, I saw the story, he was afraid to go home because his team lost to a team they weren't supposed to lose to. We rejoice in what? The Lord. Okay? When he gives us things. Sometimes when he takes things away. I have a friend that was going through a lot of pain and suffering. She had some surgery and the pain's going away. Do you think she's rejoicing in her pain leaving? Yeah. There are things that God takes away too. There's some things God leaves. That your memory you think is leaving. Right? Oh, I don't remember that. I work with little kids. I homeschooled, so I worked with, I taught 3 years. In fact, Joshua, was it this past fall? Wasn't it? Yeah. What was the main science? We taught science to 3rd through 5th graders. Right? Joshua helps me teach it because I said he's smart. So he can't take the class. But he teaches with me. The main thing I taught, that we were doing earth science and space. And we're talking about different things like temperatures and stuff like that. And we got there, it was just after Thanksgiving. And I said, after the whole class, I said, anybody have a question? Littlest girl, 3rd grade, raise her hand. How many days till Christmas? It's important to them. Right? 3rd grader. I said, let's figure it out. How many days are left in this month? 3? Okay. You knew that. I was surprised. All right. Then I asked them that all important question. What day is Christmas? Not one of those girls knew what day Christmas fell on. I'm like, of all the days you would want to know, that would be one. So I said, let's guess. They were all over the place. They went November 32nd, December 31st. They were all doing the ends of the month. January, I said, boy, your parents are going to hide this thing from you. You better find out. So that was our important thing. That I said, it's going to be on the final. You better know that answer. Today, they do know. I remember going to, because it's the homeschool group gets together, their mom's here. So I go out, I went out in the hall, I found one of those bums. I said, you know your girl don't even know what day Christmas is? Well, I guess I never told her. I'm like, yeah, I better start talking to her, telling her some things. But we need to know some things. Let me go back in here onto this. Our command is to rejoice in the Lord, all right? And he goes on, he says, not to remind, is I don't mind writing this again to you. It's a safeguard for you. He's telling us right there to rejoice in the Lord is a command. We rejoice in the things he brings us and the things he takes away, even though we may disagree, we may not understand. It's a safeguard for you. I'll tell you a story you're probably familiar with. I've learned not to assume that you do. I had a boy that didn't ever heard of the book of Genesis. He was in Bible school. He admitted to it a month later. He says, when you told me that and you mentioned that word, the book of Genesis, I'd never heard of it before. So don't assume. But I'm going to tell you a little story. It comes from Genesis. The sons of Adam and Eve were, do you know? The sons of Adam and Eve. Cain, Abel, Seth. Okay, well, Cain and Abel, at one point they were commanded by God to bring a sacrifice, right? Bring a sacrifice. The God told them, the God, there wasn't a bunch. They knew the right God, had the right God. They knew the sacrifice. Now, Cain was a farmer. Abel was a hunter. Okay? And they brought their sacrifices. Abel's was accepted. Now, it doesn't say why. It was just that God accepted it. Whatever they did, God knew. They knew God accepted it, but Cain's was left. God does not accept just any sacrifice you throw up there. You better know what you're doing. Okay? He doesn't take just anything. God went to Cain. God didn't tell Cain what it was he didn't do. He said, bring the right sacrifice and I'll accept it. You see, Cain knew the right sacrifice to bring, and he knew the right God and when to bring it. What was Cain's problem? He didn't bring it. You see, he had joy. He's a farmer. He brought grains. Okay. And it's not written in there. There was no blood. There was no blood at the sacrifice. Animal sacrifice. Cain wouldn't bring it. He says, what I brought pretty much is what it was. And he turned around and left that. But God gave him something else. And this is for us too, to understand. He asked him, why has your countenance fallen? And you know countenance. Some people have a hard time describing. It's your attitude. It's your heart carry. You know, whether you're sad or happy or, you know, it's your, okay. His brother's sacrifice was accepted and his just sits there. His countenance fell. You've seen kids like that. You've seen adults like that. Of course, they're old too. Yeah, I know. Don't, you have to know the difference. You have to look down. If his dentures are smiling, you're okay. Cain's countenance had fallen. He did not have joy in the Lord. He refused to accept it, to change it. He says, go ahead and make the sacrifice. I will accept it. He knew if he did, but he wouldn't. That's pride. Okay? Pride. He put his sacrifice up there. That was what he was proud of. Maybe that was his, and we don't know, maybe that was his joy. He put, because he grew, and the farmer loved his crops. And it talks about that in the scripture, your joy, that you're like your days when your harvest comes in. But recognize where the harvest comes from. Cain walked away from God and took his family with him. See, what happened? When his countenance fell, what does God warn him? Do you remember the warning? When your countenance falls, the dangerous sin is waiting at the door. You see people getting sad and depressed, and all of a sudden they start shooting people they don't even know. Because they slowly let whatever it is, news or life things, take their joy and squash it. And then they just want to be evil. Because that's our nature. It's our sin nature. And you see sour pickles walking down the street. You know, oh boy, here he comes. Always got bad news. They're like the Pharisee. They try to find every bad thing going on, point it out. But that is not what we're called to. We are called to find the good things. In fact, if you read here in chapter 2, which we didn't have time for today, there's two ladies arguing. They don't agree. He calls them sisters in the Lord. They're believers. Y'all help them get this thing where they live in harmony. To restore the harmony brings joy. Get that fellowship going back in the right direction. Where is the source of your joy? One of the ways, the way, is to find out that everything that God gives you, the ability to play that little squeeze box right there, comes from God. The ability he gave him to play that piano. He plays for us every Sunday at church. We have had it because we're a small church. And our music lady died of all the things. 92 years old, fell over dead. Right when we needed her. She was the leader of the choir. God, what you doing? I see where people live in 900 years. You couldn't do that for her? Well, the answer is, yeah, he could, but that wasn't his choice. She was gone. Somebody else had to fill in. Well, we had a lady that had just started coming to church who didn't play much. She had taken it as a child. She says, well, I'll try. And you could count it like Hollywood. Every week, she would miss notes. But we had a piano player. Now, which side would you look at? You sit there waiting for her to miss a note, you're like, I knew she was going to do that. Or would you be joy, we got a piano player. You see, that's right. My joy was there as a piano player. She played for 10 years with us. She improved a little bit, but she missed notes every Sunday. I didn't keep track. The joy of the Lord, I was celebrating she could play. Because there were Sundays when she was off visiting family that there was no service, you know, there was no music playing. And we sang a cappella. She stood up one day and says, my husband and I have found a new church. We're going because of a ministry they're doing. This is our last Sunday. It didn't matter if we had 2 weeks, 5 weeks, or it was today, this situation. But you know what God does? Two rows back, there was a lady sitting there. They just started just seeing whether we're here. Guess what she could do? She could play the piano. She says, oh, I'm not a piano player. Oh, yes, she is. Everybody's got this. Oh, no, I can't play that. And then they play Mozart or whatever. Her father repaired pianos. She taught violin. She could read music. She teaches music. She could play music. So she played for a number of years. But she's, here's the thing. Because God's looking down the road because he knows. She's only going to be there a couple years and leaving. We don't know that. She said this. She said, I'm not going to play by myself. Who else can hear can play? Well, he's been taking piano lessons. I haven't thought about him playing. She says, well, here's a... and copied a sheet of music, said, here, learn that hymn, and when you can learn it, you go play with me. Well, the level he was at, he brought it the next week, he played it. He said, okay, here's this one. Next week, she said, okay, well, let's try two. Okay, and then they started playing together. She played the organ, he played the piano, and then she says, hey, you try the organ this week. We have the oldest pipe organ west of the Mississippi in continuous use. 1903. It's a nice pipe organ. Small, it was great. So they played for about 2 years together, and then she left. You see how God's taking care of that? That's for today. What will it be tomorrow? I don't know. What is God's thing? I don't know. But my rejoicing is what? In the Lord. I challenged him this morning. I said, why don't you play one of them hymns? He got over there and that was without practice, right? So that's what it is. That's our love. What do you look at when you see things? Do you see God's hand at work and rejoicing in it? That's where you live, right there. Rejoice in the Lord. The strength of the Lord is what? Our joy. Okay? So that's what we've got. That's what I want you to remember. Our joy is in that. Okay? Think on these things.
Amen.
Right?